14. It will also be on the screen. There it is. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, so we just celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything that would be more encouraging. Yet as I planned and prepared for the upcoming holiday, and I made list after list, and the stress would start to bear down on me, I often felt myself in desperate need of encouragement. I asked questions like, am I going to make it? Did I bite off more than I can chew? Anybody else here feel the same way? Getting ready? Okay. I didn't think it was just me. I decided some time ago that if I was given the opportunity to give a message again, that it would be on encouragement. And because in my heart, I know that when God puts a topic on my heart to share, it, really the message is meant for me more than it is for anyone else. So you all are here to make sure I receive my message. I found it rather ironic that Pastor Kayla asked me to speak today, because today is Epiphany Sunday. And so what does that mean? Well, the dictionary definition of epiphany is a sudden dramatic moment of realization or understanding. It's an aha moment. Epiphany is also the day that Christians celebrate and remember the coming of the Magi to visit Jesus. Pastor Kayla talked about that a couple weeks ago when the Magi came, and you know, we didn't know exactly how long it took them to get there, but remember they followed the star to find Jesus. So they came bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and it's typically celebrated 12 days after Christmas. And the date that's closest to that date is Epiphany Sunday. So here we are today. When you read about Epiphany, there's one common theme, and it revolves around light, the star in the sky that the Magi followed. It's the light of the world, created by God, the revelation of divine love, Jesus, who came to dwell among us. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it reads, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." God is telling us to rise and shine because his light has come. Have you ever heard the phrase rise and shine anywhere else before? I'm not sure that I found that phrase quite so uplifting back in the day when my mom would come in my room and flip on the light and say, "Rise and shine." So fortunately, I have a new perspective now. But let's go back to that dictionary definition, a sudden and dramatic moment of realization. You know, I remember when I was a kid, when the seemed like the television revivals, it would be on TV a lot more. I don't know that I've seen anything lately, but we have so many channels, who can tell? But when I was a kid watching the television revivals, and people would stand up and they'd share these amazing testimonies. You know, there's stories in the Bible where, you know, the sea parted so that they could escape. The burning bush, and the angel of God was speaking through the burning bush. And so, you know, when people share their testimonies and their stories, it's their way to share encouragement with all of us. And as I grew older, it occurred to me that I don't really have an aha moment. And then I thought, I wonder if that's okay. So here again, those insecurities, you know, they start to come out. So I don't have that aha moment when I realize the spiritual change in my life. And shouldn't I also have something interesting to share? For me, it was more of a gradual thing. You know, don't get me wrong, I have special moments. You know, when I had my child, my daughter, and, you know, that was the light of my life at that time. I stood right here and got baptized in 2012. I stood right there and got married to Rich in 2014. So I have moments, very special moments, but I've still kept really trying to think of what's that aha moment for me, you know, where I feel like I'm the Holy Spirit is in me, and I break down into tears of joy, and I couldn't think of one. But I came to a better understanding over time, gradually, that, you know, I do have the special moments, and that it's okay. My insecurities and doubts, they started to clear up. But those insecurities, they come back, and they get you usually at the most inopportune times. And that's where encouragement comes in. Where I find sometimes I need encouragement is believing that my faith is strong enough and that I'm good enough. And if it's okay that I don't have a burning bush moment. But I'm confident enough now that I believe, yes, that it is okay. But that doesn't mean that I'm finished, because I'm guessing it could still happen. I hope so, but it could still happen, right? But it makes sense to me that if I need encouragement, that I'm probably not the only one. And then there are probably other people out there who feel the same way. So I ask myself, what does encouragement look like for me? And how can I have the courage to encourage others? Some of you know that I'm a breast cancer survivor. In May, it'll be 5 years since the initial diagnosis and since the bilateral mastectomy. So, I mean, that's definitely encouraging, 5 years. It's like everyone's goal is to get to 5 years, and then after that, it's all downhill. Supposedly. But I did have surgery in October. It was because of some issues with the original reconstruction surgery. So it required me to be off work for 4 weeks. And, you know, idle hands and all that, being off work for 4 weeks is usually not good for me. And it was about 3 weeks in, I received a text from two of my linemen. I work at Ameren, and I received a text one day from two of my linemen, and they said, "Hey, we're worried about you. When are you coming back? We need some leadership around here." Well, this message came at the time, you know, 3 weeks in. I was tired of not feeling well. I was tired from not sleeping. And I was just plain old down in the dumps. Don't get me wrong, my family and friends, everyone was doing things that they could to uplift me. But sometimes it's these little things that come out of the blue, out of nowhere, that you're not expecting. And especially when it's from whom you're least expecting. You know, I have two linemen that just sent me that text. That was really cool. So it made a world of difference. So when you think about acts of kindness, it's an easy way of encouraging people. And it's a way that I like to be encouraged, but I also like to encourage. We must purposely choose to build one another up. You get that nudge, you have to do it. You have to go for it. Now, sometimes it doesn't take much to encourage others. It can be a smile, a quick note, the text, a phone call. But other times it takes a bit more. My husband, Rich, and I were talking to Andrea on the phone the other night. She's our oldest daughter. And she lives in Denver, Colorado. So I asked her, I said, what's something that helps to encourage you when you need a little bit of encouragement? What works for Andrea? And she told me she kept some screenshots of encouraging texts from her dad. And some of these go as far back as when she was in college during finals week. Today's her 32nd birthday, so she's had these for quite some time. And it would be a simple text such as, go get them, you know, you got this, I believe in you. I believe in you was the big one she said for her. And to this day, reading those texts still offer her encouragement. So I took the conversation one step further and I said, so if you have a friend who needs some encouragement, what do you do for them? And she said, that's easy. I do the same thing. So find something that encourages you, and you can probably, if you share the same kind of thing with someone else, you're providing encouragement for them as well. Just knowing and hearing that someone believes in you can make all the difference. Again, you have to pay attention to those nudges. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, for you know that we dealt with each other, or each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom of glory. So how did Paul encourage them in this case? He didn't tell them everything was going to be okay, but he charged them to walk in a manner worthy of God. He wanted to drag them out of that spiritual sluggishness, the things that were going on. And so how much of the encouragement that we get today sounds like that? I have a few examples for you. During my time here, I'm the treasurer at Hillsborough United Methodist Church. And so during my time here as a treasurer, we've had many amazing things happen. We've worked together, and we have completely turned the finances around in the last 7 years in the church. Our attendance is up. Our giving is up. Our church is growing. We have a committed pastor with Pastor Kayla. We have a committed leadership team. We're paying down the mortgage and saving to pay cash for the new parking lot at the same time. Our bills are paid, and we've paid our apportionments in full for at least 7 years. So trust me, it hasn't always been that way. But it's a wonderful gift to have. We've received spiritual encouragement from God right here. And his assurance that he believes in us. It almost feels as though when we were down and out that Paul charged us to walk in a manner worthy of God. And I think we're doing it. Like I said, sometimes it doesn't take much effort. Sometimes it takes a lot more. This has taken a great deal of effort, and yet we keep doing it. We also have the Christmas food and gift basket program here at Hillsborough. We do it every year. It's one of the highlights of my year. I look forward to that day every year whenever we do the distribution. And this mission takes many hands and feet. Even the days leading up to the distribution, you know, we have kids that we adopt, so I have that list of the things that they want. I treat that list the same way I treat a Christmas list from one of my children or grandchildren. It's that important to me. I even experience the same kind of insecurities with, I hope I got the right thing. Is it the right color? Is it going to fit? You know, all of those same questions come up whenever I'm doing that shopping. But then the day of distribution arrives, and it's almost like Christmas morning around here. Everybody's working together and smiling and laughing. And those smiles, they just bring cheer to my heart when we're working through that day. Rich told me a story several years ago. It was before I was coming to church here. And he said they were all getting everything all set up and ready for distribution to start. And this man pulls up in a pickup truck full of, the bed was full of groceries. He said, where can I unload these? And he said, where did they come from? And he said, my family and I, we received a food basket last year. And then he looked at him and smiled and he said, it's been a better year. You know, if that doesn't give you encouragement, I don't know what will. So everyone here works together to make this mission a success and to give encouragement to someone who may not be feeling much hope. As Paul said, walk in a manner worthy of God. So I keep bringing up the feelings of insecurity, and I know we all have them. For me, those are the times when I most need a friend who will listen, not necessarily to fix it for me. Being a good listener tells your friend that you value and you their opinions and feelings. So listening is one of the easiest and one of the most difficult things we can do with our friends and family, and to encourage someone. The difficult part for me is keeping my opinion to myself. Like I said, I don't want people to fix it for me, so I have to be intentional about not fixing it for them. So instead of offering my opinion, I could ask, is there anything I can do to help? Is there any way I can be part of the solution, their solution? And what can I do to be there to encourage them? This lets the other person know that they are valued and important to me. And don't forget to celebrate the victories, no matter how small or large. Can you remember a time when you needed encouragement but didn't receive it? Marshall Segal, the CEO of Desiring God, says, a scarcity of encouragement can become a crisis for any soul. Encouragement often runs dry in our churches because we fail to prioritize and practice it. So do you think that sometimes people fail to encourage another because they don't necessarily know what encouragement is? We might assume that it's just, you know, a word of comfort or affirmation, something to make us feel better about ourselves, but not really getting into what is it that they need. To courage is to give courage and have the courage to walk in a manner worthy of God. I'd like to close with this story. A woman carried water every day from the well to her home using two clay jars. One jar was perfect, the other had a crack and arrived only half full. For years, the cracked jar apologized. I leak, I fail, I'm not as good as the other. The woman smiled and said, did you notice the path on your side? The jar looked down and saw flowers growing all along the trail. I planted seeds there, the woman said. And every day, because of your cracks, they were watered. Without you, she added, this path would be dry. God doesn't wait for us to be flawless. He uses the things that we see as our own weaknesses to bring life, beauty, and growth to others. How is it with you? Do you know someone suffering from sorrow or grief? Do you know others who have grown idle or complacent, making excuses to avoid what God has called them to do? And if so, how might you strengthen their souls in Christ? How might God use you to stir confidence, their confidence in Him? Please pray with me. God of love and light, when we feel engulfed in the darkness of this world, open our eyes to see your light. And grant us the courage to follow where it leads. Grant us the courage to encourage those who have grown weary with the weight of sorrow, of grief, or the weight of the world. Lord, strengthen our souls and fill our hearts with hope as we pray as Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you could join me in the Apostles' Creed.
Please rise.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.